Scott and Lyra, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. I'm excited to talk to you guys about the dynamic between a type 6 and a type 8. Before we get started, Scott and Lyra are friends that live here in the same town as we do, and we go to the same church, have been in small group together, so I've gotten to hear some of their Enneagram stories already, and I'm excited for everyone else to hear them. And I know you guys also have known about the Enneagram for a while and have had some experience learning and growing in your types and as a couple. So we want to hear about that. And first, I'd love to hear how you guys discovered the Enneagram and how it's been a help to you guys.
Sure. Yeah, we actually discovered it through a really good friend of mine who was living in Chicago at the time. And she has actually since moved to Williamsburg. But it was probably about 5 years ago when she first talked about it with me. And she was like, hey, I've really been like kind of deep diving into this. And our church has kind of actually been doing some like sermons on it. And she was like, I'm just really curious, like what you think you are, is really how it just started.
Right.
And then we kind of like research and reading books on that. And then I think Scott was definitely like skeptical.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure.
Right.
What's this? Like, no way. This is just whatever.
Right.
And I introduced it to him.
Well, I mean, our friend, and I love her, but you know, she kind of like dives hard into lots of different things. So you have to take it with a grain of salt and you're like, okay, you know, let's see what this is all about. But actually, I mean, I'm skeptical anyway. And then I was like, I don't know. This being promised to me as like a window into my soul. I'm not sure.
But really what sold Scott was when we actually looked at the relationship between our two types.
Okay.
And in our marriage. That actually was the crux. So
yeah.
We have been married almost 12 years. So this is almost like whatever, like halfway through our marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that really was that like nail in the coffin for him. Of like, oh my gosh, like maybe there is some truth to this.
It was like someone had set up security cameras in our house for like 3 or 4 years and then was like, just like wrote a little essay for their school report on our marriage.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, this probably has some merit.
That's great. That's great. And I love that because that's kind of the purpose of this podcast. And this is actually the first. I'm calling it Dynamic Duo, and this is the first episode I've recorded in English for this series of couples, but I love how we're able to talk through some of those things and for other couples to be able to listen and say, oh my gosh, like that's what we go through and that's what we struggle with, or those are our strengths, and be able to learn from you guys in this instance. And before I want to hear more from you guys, but before we go a little bit deeper, I love how you guys really discovered a lot of the Enneagram in your relationship together, because sometimes that comes later. People do a lot of the individual work first for a long time, and then they're like, oh, let me see if this actually could help in my relationships, any relationships really. But so in your case, And it'll be pretty obvious here soon, I'm sure. But in your case, Lyra, you're an 8, and Scott, the skeptic, is a 6. So I totally get that. A lot of 6s are skeptical about the Enneagram at the start, and that's normal. But I'm glad you decided to dive deep. So tell me a little bit about tell me some of the stories, or a little bit about how this helped in your relationship. Just aside from realizing, oh my gosh, like this could really be, there could be something to this. What are some of those examples, or how did that start helping you guys?
Sure. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to jump in better with specific like examples for our marriage, but I'll say, you know, especially just starting off and reading about how a 6 and an 8 relate with each other. I don't know. It really taught me a lot about myself. I mean, we read it in the context of this is how our types come together, and in that context of how it affects our relationship. But it helped me learn a lot about like what I'm bringing to the table, especially in terms of conflict, because I just am a very reactive person. And I kind of have this weird I think it's probably a really big challenge for Lyra. But this weird identity where it's most of the time, I feel like a very logical, rational person, except when I'm upset, and then I become very irrational very quickly. And right. and like learning that more about myself, I never would have thought of it that way, you know? And I think that was something in like arguments we might've had, especially earlier on in our relationship, where I'd be like, well, I'm the more logical one, but like not recognizing how illogical I could be in being. So I think there's just so many times, especially early on in our marriage, all the things that we worked through, I wish we had discovered it even sooner than we did, because so many of our early struggles were like over control or over decision-making or, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. That now I look at our types and I'm like, oh, I know how to navigate this a lot better now, because I know how to, I've grown a lot as a person, Lyra's grown a lot as a person, but now we know how to kind of speak this language a little better as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, you might have better specific examples.
Yeah, I think it was really eye-opening for me, I think, to understand probably like just where Scott's coming from, and a lot of it just being built in, like who he is, mm-hmm. and not just like, oh, he's not just like, whatever, like reacting this way because he's just like an angry person. I think, right? Like that was like my go-to a lot, or like, oh, he's like trying to control me, which as an eight, like that, I mean, it's such a headbutting, because that's something that eights like really want to be independent. So when Scott's just trying to like play devil's advocate or see all sides of a situation, it feels to me like he's like telling me I can't, or that somehow, you know what I mean? Like I'm doing wrong. And so understanding he's just like being super perceptive and just trying to analyze a lot of different sides of a situation, and not just saying, hey, Lyra, like, sure, that could be good, or this could be, I automatically am like, oh, then you're saying my thing's not right. And I get pretty defensive about it. And now I can definitely step back, and I'm not as reactionary with that. And I think also decision-making, oh man, is so different for us, that Scott just takes a long time making decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is really hard for me, because I make them very quickly. And so giving him this used to, I think he definitely felt a lot more pressure from me without, maybe I wasn't even trying to pressure him, but because I just make it quickly, it definitely feels, I understand.
I feel like I have to like catch up.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, you're already like on the train and I'm not sure which ticket we need. Hold on.
Right.
That's for sure like a big thing. I think early on, for like a specific example, early on in our marriage, one big fight that, or maybe a conflict point that a lot of couples might have, is their budget, right? Their household finances. And that's what we were like figuring out as a younger married couple. And, you know, because you're just merging your life. And we were young when we got married, so there's just so much learning we're doing in a lot of ways. But the way our fights manifested just in our like household finances too, where like my bent was to like, we need to figure out every single little thing, and we need to be on the exact same page, because this is like a master plan that I've come up with, and we need to do this together. You need to like help me out with this, because I figured it all out.
Right.
And to Lyra, that felt very much like I'm like trying to control everything and tell her what to do. And really, it's more like, no, I just want to make sure we don't like, you know, lose everything. And I want to make sure we're on the same page.
Which, the funny thing about all that is Scott's the one who's super impulsive.
I'm way more impulsive than not. She is.
Right.
Which goes back to the logical, irrational, like switch flip that I have. But that was a big thing that now that we know our Enneagram types better, and we've just grown as a married couple and gotten more mature. We're, you know, even something like our budget is in a much better, much healthier conversation place now. And like, there's a lot more trust and a lot more working together on that. And I've learned to let go of a lot. But I would say that's like one thing that our types naturally had a lot of conflict with, because I naturally wanted to like figure everything out, and Lyra naturally wanted to be more independent and like feel trusted and feel like she could make decisions without having to overthink every single thing, because she can't.
Right. Of course.
No, and I think, and that's huge too. Like Scott used to like not understand, like, honestly, the Enneagram, this is, I think, one of the biggest shifts. Scott was like, I don't understand how you can make that decision so quickly. Like being able to make a decision that quickly to Scott feels like it's rushed, and that time wasn't put into it.
Right.
Until like really looking to, he's like, oh my gosh, like that's part, honestly, like one of the strengths of like your type is that like quick decision. and that let go. He's learned to trust that a lot more. That's been really cool.
Great. And there's a book, and you guys are probably familiar with it, but it's called The Path Between Us by Suzanne Stabile. And one of the things that she says about the type 6 and 8 is that the 8 is too fast for the 6 and the 6 is too slow for the 8. And so being able to find that common ground, I can imagine it's sometimes like a tug of war, like it has been hard.
Yeah, I mean, it shows up all the time. Sometimes it's really big stuff, like our household finances. Sometimes it's really small stuff, like what are we going to do on Saturday morning for breakfast?
Yeah.
So it shows up all the time. And there's definitely been some growth there where I think we're learning to recognize through studying the Enneagram more and just talking about it more, like that it is just a natural need for both of us, that I need more time to like catch up on things. And when it's fast, like I start to get really anxious, but I can also like learn to let that go a little bit more and not need to overanalyze every single thing.
Yeah, I definitely try to present, I think, to Scott how I present is a lot different. If I'm presenting, like sometimes I'm like, I already know this is the best idea, or I already know it's probably the thing he's gonna pick because I know him really well. But instead of just jumping to that end result, I will present to him like, hey, I was thinking, or what about this? You know what I mean? To give them that space and time, really be able to add it to like one of the things to think through. Mm-hmm. And obviously a lot of the time we still end up in the same place. It for sure is a pull for me. I mean, it's been years and it's still, I have to force myself to slow down. Mm-hmm. Like I force myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like 2 weekends ago, we were trying to make like Friday night plans and Scott was like working till 5. And in my head, I was already like, oh, we'll have this and then do this and then do this and do this. And then as soon as Scott like got off work, like I presented it to him and he just felt so overwhelmed so quickly that he literally like left angrily because he just like left and he like just needed that like space. But then that definitely makes me feel like abandoned. And then he was just like, oh, like whatever, forget you. And like who have our whole night, you know what I mean? Like I know this about him. Like I know what happened. I know that he just got like really overwhelmed.
Yeah, I just needed quickly to step outside for a minute and process everything.
Right.
But we're kind of learning that still. Like I think that's probably our current biggest, like there's been lots of things that we've learned and grown using the Enneagram over the last 5 or 6 years. This is the current one for us where it's like this need that I have to make a little space and think and calm down and like not be so reactive and to rein that in. And to learn that like even though I have a million thoughts kind of whirling around, I don't have to let that dominate. And if I just take a second and breathe, I can figure it out.
Yes.
But for Lyra, that feels like abandonment. And that I need to get better at saying, hey, just give me a moment. Instead of just like leaving, saying, hey, I need to leave for a moment. I'll be right back.
Right.
And so that's something that we're kind of working through right now, I think. But there have been a number of things that the Enneagram helped us with. And this is, I think, another one where if we weren't as familiar with the Enneagram and we were going through this, it probably would be a much bigger issue for us than it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really that about each other.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And Scott's trusting that Lyra's already like thought through it and she has, you know what I mean? And to be able to like let that go and be like, okay, like let's go.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But I do love our type pairing. Honestly, I think it's really, really great. We have a really solid foundation and a lot of, I think we talk about a lot how there's just so many core things about our life and the way we look at the world and we relate to other people that we have so much harmony on that even though we do have these things we have to navigate, I love our type pairing. And I know it's one of the, probably one of the more unusual or difficult pairings, but I think it's really great.
Right. No, that's great. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think sometimes it makes it maybe a little bit more unusual too, because I'm a female 8 and Scott's like a male 6. I think that adds, you know what I mean? Like an extra layer, like speaking to my other female 8s out there, like definitely, man, especially when like you have that like pretty like independent.
That
like,
raw power. Spirit.
But letting, I mean, and that's whatever. I'm sure we can talk about this for forever. But that's another thing too, like just letting Scott take control sometimes, honestly, like control and take rein, even though like it comes supernatural to me. And a lot of times he will let me lead in a lot of situations because that is comfortable for him too. But that can also be a struggle because he's the male and I'm the female. Mm-hmm. And so being aware of that and taking a step back sometimes, even though that feels very unnatural to me and like it's tough and goes against.
Lyra has to push me to step up and take leadership sometimes because it's so easy for me to just let her take ownership of things.
Right. No, I'm glad you mentioned that. So, okay, I'm going to jump past what I was going to say and we'll come back to it because you mentioned this. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was this very thing, how for because of your types, it's very natural sometimes, or the tendency would be for the eight, Lyra in this case, to be in control, and for Scott, the six, to sit back and just kind of play the supported role. But in your case, Scott, you are the male, you are the husband, the father, the main provider. So talk to me a little bit more about that. How have you guys fallen into kind of maybe a more comfortable space where, Lyra, you're able to be a healthy eight, because it's healthy for an eight to lead a lot of the times, not in a controlling manner, but it is healthy for you to be able to take that lead. But then Scott kind of being able to also lead when he needs to.
Yeah.
Talk to me more about that.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. It's something that I think is really interesting about our dynamic. And I know Lyra has, ever since we've learned about the Enneagram, has always wrestled with that, like being a female and being an eight, and that being sort of goes against like the societal norms or what people tend to expect in the dynamic. But I would say there's a few things that help us with that. I'm going back to how we discovered the Enneagram. I think when we first read this description of a six and an eight together, and I felt like there was somebody watching us for all these years, I really didn't like it. It made me very uncomfortable. And I know it's a common thing for people when they discover the Enneagram and they resonate with the type, that they probably hone in on those things they don't like about it.
Yeah.
And for me, it made me really uncomfortable for this exact reason, because there's just all these things ingrained in me as a husband, as a father, as a new father at the time. You know, like what a man's supposed to be and the role that a man and a woman have in a marriage. And looking back, I think that was another like set of conflict points where we were running into this tension, but really not having the understanding for it. And I think growing, you know, together and growing and learning more about the Enneagram has helped me feel a lot more comfortable just in who I am and recognizing that these are valid dynamics, and that rather than fighting against them all the time, we can leverage them to our, you know, success.
Yeah.
Right.
And that has been the best thing for us in a lot of ways. I think decision-making is probably the best one where we've really learned to rely on each other's strengths, where yes, Lyra can make decisions a lot faster than me. And I've learned to trust that decision making, that not only can she make decisions quickly, but she can make very good decisions quickly. And just because she processes information a lot differently than I do doesn't mean it's invalid or irresponsible, which early in our marriage, I would have said, you're being irresponsible. You're deciding something way too quickly. There's no way you could possibly have weighed every factor.
Yeah. And my like playing to Scott's strength is Scott's really, really good at being a critical thinker, right? Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, like devil's advocating, you know, and troubleshooting and presenting whatever, like 100 different options and 100 different sides. But I rely on him now, you know what I mean, to come to me and be like, hey, Lyra, here's 20 different ways we can like redo our kitchen. And I'll be like, cool, this is the one. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so that work, and like him being able to bring all of the sides to me that I wouldn't see, because Scott's very much, you know, in the present, like in the moment, and then sees like 18 different catastrophes down the line, like that helps like present it to me in a fashion that allows me to make a decision, you know what I mean, quickly. And you'll get bogged down like second guessing and overthinking like he does,
and it's ultimately a decision that we both feel good about, because when I'm thinking about all the different options and trying to come up with different plans for what we could or couldn't do, and then I talk to Lear about them, I'm giving her my opinion on those as well. And she's taking that into consideration. We're working together in a lot of that. Where I've kind of like going back to the question of like the norms of like a male and a female in a marriage, like, you know, there is leadership in that. And there's also like a partnership here, and that I don't need to just make every decision. If I'm like making every decision, that's not necessarily what a husband needs to do. That's not necessarily being a leader of the family. And I've learned a lot about that as well, that there's so much strength in what Lyra brings to the table that I just don't have. Or if I tried to do it, it would be really done badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like leveraging her strength and like also her, you know, leveraging my strengths and working together in that way, it becomes a lot less important whether it's her standing up and doing something or me standing up and doing something, as long as it's something that we're, and we communicate a lot. So if, as long as it's something that we're talking about and working on together, it doesn't really matter to me like who's taking the lead, because we're doing so much of our life together.
Right.
And leadership opportunities in all phases of the decisions that we're making together. So
That's good. And this is good stuff for all type combinations, because what you're expressing is that the importance of being secure in who you are as a person, however that might be. And then that security that you each have individually, you bring that to the table. So it makes you more secure as a couple, and you're not having the pressure. You're not allowing the pressure of whatever the norms are or whatever you were told to believe or to strive for when you were younger dictate your relationship. You're allowing the strengths that each of you bring to the table to do that. And that's great for any type combination, for sure.
I think so. And I will, one last thing I'll say is, like, at least for me as a six, I know there's, I don't, this is part of the Enneagram I don't know as much about, but I know there's different levels of being a six or being an eight. And I would say for me personally as a six, I'm more of a fighter. And I think that helps too.
Yeah.
Where her as an eight, like we do, like I, you know, I won't shy away or back down. Like if she starts saying what she thinks really strongly, like I'm not just going to wither with that. Like I'm going to tell her how I feel.
Right.
And there's like a,
and that's really important to me, because I need that. Like that's like relationships, like for people to obviously push back to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I feel like they're like genuine and real and that they're not like pushovers. And so that, I mean, that's definitely a huge part of it too. Mm-hmm. You don't. Yeah.
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 So,
so you probably. Right. You probably consider yourself more of a counterphobic six than a phobic six. Yeah. Subtypes. Yeah. And that's, there's so much variety. Well, there's so much variety within any type, but there is even more variety within the sixes because of that. And it can be confusing at times, but no, that's great. And that, and I hear you, Lyra, because that is, I think, key to relationships for an eight is having people around you, whether it's family, friends, a romantic relationship where you know that the other person is not going to just step back into the shadows. They're going to stand up for themselves. They're going to stand up for others. They're going to fight back verbally. They're going to be able to engage in those debates and that type of thing. And that's great.
Absolutely.
Scott, you mentioned earlier that, despite differences, that you really like your combination, you really like the way things play out, and there are similarities. And I know, and I think one of you mentioned this too, but trust is a big thing for both sixes and for both eights. Can you talk about that at all? Like how that plays out, whether it's, trust plays into so many aspects of a relationship, but you've mentioned finances, you've mentioned so many things. What does trust look like for you guys? Has that been a journey?
I suppose it's been a journey. I guess you could say that. I don't know. I'm a pretty trusting person in general. I think Lyra is the one that's more guarded, but both of us definitely value loyalty and honesty and communication. I'd say that's probably the biggest thing for us, and a reason that we're successful in our marriage is that we're just always talking about things. And I've learned, I think for me with trust, the biggest thing that I've had to learn about Lyra is trusting her very direct communication, that there's not typically many layers below what she's actually saying.
Right.
And that's probably the biggest thing I'm still learning and working on. Some of my family is more passive, more indirect. I think most people are, frankly. I think most people just casually having conversations are going to be pretty guarded, are going to be pretty indirect about things. And there's like layers that you're trying to read with people.
Right.
And Lyra can definitely hide what she hide things if she wants to. She can put those walls up. But when we've got a very established relationship, like, she's very honest with me. And that's a hallmark trait of the eight, is that they're just very honest and direct, clear communicators, to a point where it's almost a little like unsettling at first. But I've learned to trust that. I've learned to trust that when she's telling me something, that I can rely on that, and that I can believe that, and that she's not, like, I don't know, hiding things or being like being mysterious, and that I have to like figure stuff out. It's really good, because the more time I spend trying to like, I'm like, the more time that I spend in an argument saying, I don't believe you, I think there's more there, what's the real thing going on? That's just gonna aggravate her to no end, because she's then feeling betrayed, then feeling like she's not being listened to. It's really going against all those trigger points for her type. The more I can just rely on, you know, what you're saying to me is honest and direct, and I can just trust that, the better off that our communication is going to be.
Right.
Would you?
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. I mean, Scott's right. I definitely am the one more. I mean, we both are definitely distrustful of the world, right? If we put it like in that sense, and that's definitely where we bond. I mean, with anything.
Oh yeah, we're
like
very...
like in any like any circumstance.
Yeah.
Someone we meet at a store.
We're waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah, we're always like, oh man, oh suspect, like someone's gonna whatever. We're like doorbell rings at like a time during the day we don't expect, and we're like, oh man, someone's here to like. Like easily, all of us definitely into that. But I definitely have. I just really strive and crave for people to be genuine, and so I have a really tough time when people aren't. And I can tell pretty quickly if someone is or isn't. And that's the part, of, like, you know, where I that distrust comes in for me in like relationships. But Scott, he has a problem, obviously, because he is so loyal, and quickly like dating him and then obviously like marrying him, and knowing that he is the type to just like, man, when he's like in it and he says he's in it, and this is like a positive thing, like marriage is like positive, like sometimes it comes up when like Scott's really loyal to like other things, you know, we probably like say that, you know, one church we went to maybe a little too long or something, you know what I mean, just stuff like that can like creep in. But that part of like Scott's aspect, especially as like a family, like is really, really cool. Like as a dad and as a husband, like sticking in there.
Yeah.
That's really,
That's good. And Scott mentioned, I think most of these when you were talking, but so there's a website or an institution called the Enneagram Institute. And it was founded by Don Rizzo and Russ Hudson. And one of the things that they say, I'm actually going to read it, talking about similarities between your two types. And it repeats a lot of what you just said, but they both admire and try to embody strength, commitment to one's word, honor, unquestioned loyalty, responsibility, hard work, courage, a spirit of protectiveness, and fighting for the underdog. And it sounds like you guys definitely relate to those similarities.
This is Lyra, co-founder of Simply Whole. Did you know that your diet and lifestyle are the number one predictor of your health outcome? Only 20% of your risk for disease comes from genetics, while 80% comes from diet and lifestyle. Genetics load the gun, diet and lifestyle pull the trigger. At Simply Whole, we empower people to adopt a whole food lifestyle through weekly nutrition coaching and easy meal planning. As a meal prep specialist, our licensed nutritional coach and I offer a personalized experience that meets your unique health goals. We really love helping people create sustainable habits and simplify their eating choices with wholesome meals that actually taste good. We believe you shouldn't have to choose between your health and convenience, so that's why we've blended the two at Simply Whole. For more information on the programs we offer, go to our website, simplywhole.org, or follow us on Instagram, @simply.whole.
Hey guys, this is Misty talking now, and I am a beneficiary of the services of Simply Whole. I have been eating a primarily plant-based diet for the last 2 years, and I feel healthier than ever. I highly recommend their recipes and services. If you are looking to make a change in your diet or want more information about living a healthier lifestyle, check out Simply Whole today. And for all of you Discover Freedom podcast listeners, Simply Whole has an exclusive offer. Mention the code DISCOVERFREEDOM when you fill out a contact form on their website for a 10% discount on any of their nutrition coaching packages.
Here's something that comes up that I was just thinking sometimes that has to do with that, like sticking up, like being there for someone. I think I'm really quick, obviously, in experiences with other people or even strangers or situations where I'm quick to point out, obviously, like injustices right. when things aren't right. And as I've grown and I'm truly like a much healthier eight, I have like learned to look at those and be like, do I need to bring something up? You know what I mean? Like, how important right. is it? Like, is this like something to like fight over or like not? And I know that's probably one thing, like Scott definitely really respects and like loves my type. And I think that's something that makes him really uncomfortable still. Sometimes can make me feel if I'm like in a situation, and I know we've left situations before where I'm like, why didn't you like come fight for me? You know what I mean? Why didn't you like stand right. up for me? And sometimes it's really silly. Like sometimes it's really ridiculous. Like me like saying something and someone like, you know what I mean? Like coming against or disagreeing, and Scott will just like stand there.
I'll let it play.
Yeah, he'll let it play out. And his reason's always like, well, like I don't need to because like you can handle it yourself. And I'm like, cool, fair, true, like good use of like playing into my type because I know that. But also, like, why aren't you like sticking up for me? Like, why aren't you like going to fight for me? Right? Like that. And that's probably another like ongoing thing too. Sometimes that creeps up.
Yeah, I would say that's probably like if I could go back in time and talk to us 10 years ago earlier on in our marriage would be. I would try to encourage myself to do a better job of sticking up for Lyra in situations, because I think as a six, it's natural for me to try to see all sides of an issue. So when there's conflict with Lyra and some third party, I'm her husband. I love her. I'm with her. I've got her side. However, I can still try to understand.
And I'm like, stop seeing that side. Like, just see that side.
And so I don't mean anything by it towards her. My heart is with her. But I'm like, well, I bet they were, you know, thinking this, or they've got this going on, or like trying to like just.
Right.
It comes across to her like I'm taking their side, or I'm justifying someone else's actions, and that I am not with her. And that's.
Well, yeah. If you're not for me, then you're obviously against me.
And that's what I've done a better job of, is like, you know, I might have those thoughts, but it's not helpful to her or to our marriage to vocalize them. I need to do a better job. Even when it's uncomfortable for me, I need to do a better job of taking her side more actively in those types of situations. Because I mean, as an eight and as a female eight especially, I think this is where the female eight thing really comes to bear for Lyra, where, you know, there's just so many great things about eights that people just don't understand. And it's just off-putting or unsettling for people when they encounter that. And Lyra's a very healthy eight, by the way, I would say. I think she's a much healthier eight than I am. where she's not going out there picking fights with people. And now maybe 10 years ago, I would have felt like she was trying to get me involved in a fight, you know, because someone cut a line or something.
I mean, that's a real thing. Cutting line, not to like say something about it. I sense of let go. You guys can cut in front of me now and I won't say anything.
Yeah. But now I would say, you know, she's very honest, very direct, not like trying to be aggressive, not trying to like start fights, but just, you know, she sees something and she says it, which a lot of people don't. A lot of Enneagram types, they see something and they like keep it quiet, or they look around and wait for someone else to do something. Well, the eight's the one that's going to do something, and it needs to be done most of the time. And, but unfortunately for Lyra, that just comes around with people, you know, not responding well to that all the time. And as someone who loves her and is here with her, I need to do a better job always of recognizing that. And even though I might understand where someone else is coming from, being on her side and being with her and sticking up for her, I wish I had done that more earlier on. And that's something I want to continue to try to improve at.
Right.
So I think that's an important part of the 6 and 8 dynamic.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that kind of takes us into, we were talking about similarities, but differences. And the eight is an instinctual type. and the six is a mental type. So in those scenarios, you're kind of playing that out. She's just acting on her instinct and you're still thinking about what's the best way to handle this or what's the best thing to say, or, you know, and so that's so true. I can see that totally. Mm-hmm. So quickly, let's look at some of those differences. And actually that example that you used shows that difference, you know, you being in the triad that is more mental, you're using your head more, Lyra being in that instinctual gut triad. But another thing is that eights and sixes are different in is, and I sent these to you, I'm going to read some of them, but I'd love to hear if there's any that I don't read that really stick out to you guys. Sixes tend to be a little bit more reactive while eights are a little bit more strategic. Sixes are a little bit more ambivalent and eights are more certain. That kind of comes into play in that example that you used. She's acting because she's certain on what needs to be done. You're kind of going back and forth between what do I need to say anything? Do I not? What should I say? The six has, and you guys mentioned this, irrational outbreaks. When the eight gets upset, it's more of this lucid anger. They're not acting irrationally. They're very certain and they know what they're doing in that moment. Another one is that the six can be contradictory while the eight is pretty consistent in the way they handle things, what they say, what they do. And then one more, and I'll let you guys comment on these. The six can be hesitant while the eight can tend to be forceful. So I want to hear your thoughts on some of these differences.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts are basically that Lyra is all the things that I like to think that I can be.
That's great.
I like to think that I thought through everything. So of course I'll make a good decision, or of course I'll be consistent because I've thought through everything and that's the path and I'll stick on that. Or if we're in an argument, of course I'll be right because I've thought of everything. But in reality, it's just a mess. Like when we fight, she is correct most of the time. Even if I might like be right on some detail, she's emotionally and directionally accurate much more often than I am. And it's a bad situation for a six getting in a fight with an eight because they just have this ability to just like think quickly and on their feet and be accurate and put their pressure on, and then you're just like, it's over before it started.
Yeah, Scott always says he hates getting into a fight with me because he just quickly feels just like overwhelmed and he can't think of the thing to say, and then he'll just get really defensive and really biting because he just wants to like make me feel like pain and hurt, but he can't actually like think clearly like through anything. It's like moving too fast, and he like becomes irrational and then like really angry. Which is always like really funny to me. It's only funny now, right? It's not funny like
in it's not hilarious. It's funny now. Where definitely like I just always feel like if we're in a conflict, like I'm just like trying to catch up to where she's already at. And like I think that's the thing that I've learned in conflict with her is that I get a lot more defensive and a lot more reactive than I ever realized. And the result of that is if I don't take a moment to catch myself and think about what it is I'm really arguing for, what is it that's really bothering me?
Yeah.
If I'm just like trying to like catch all the things that she's saying and respond, and being, I guess, counterphobic, trying to respond in force, what happens is I just say dumb, hurtful stuff that I don't mean.
Like he just gets really mean. Yeah.
And I don't mean it. I'm just trying to like throw back what I'm feeling.
And I say,
and
this is really a big point of contention too, because Scott's like, oh, I just like said that because I was just like in the moment I was trying to be mean. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I never say things I don't mean.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I already know like how I feel and think. And when I say it, like I'm saying it because I've already made up my mind about it. And Scott's like, what? No, I'm just like saying emotions. Like I'm just saying things like they come. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's definitely still a point of contention too. Cause I'm like, well then don't say it. Like, decide no or don't say anything.
Right.
Like, I don't know if this is an Enneagram thing or if this is just a result of Lyra being a much better person than I am.
Okay,
but for whatever reason, she is that more emotional type. and is also much more in control of her emotions. Like, she might respond with strong emotion, but it's directed and it's funneled, right, and it's more or less, I've rarely seen Lyra really lose it. Whereas I'm like pretty in control most of the time until I start feeling like really overwhelmed and really pressured and like things are flying at me. And then it like unravels quickly, yeah, because there's just, yeah, so many things. I'm like trying to process it once. I just can't do it. And then, yeah, that just frustrates me more. And then it's,
yeah,
that's a challenging dynamic, which goes back to, I think, what we were talking about earlier, where we're learning now, like I need to just get some space.
Yeah.
And right, that's a whole other thing that makes her feel like she's being abandoned. And so that's like a big challenge for us as we're working through, is, well, just like how to not get into these situations where I'm just being flippant and reacting because I, right, don't do those things well.
Right.
And we both, and that's what's really interesting, is Scott and I both like first have to understand how we feel in like a conflict or fight or situation before we can really like come and actually resolve.
Yeah.
I just do it at a much quicker pace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's tough. And that's where like the past couple of years we've really tried to implement when a conflict like starts arising. And Scott, I've been like, you have to like be clear and like communicate to me, like, hey, I need to like go like take a walk, or I have to like go step out because he needs, right, the time to gather how he feels or thinks before he can come back. And I'm like, how do you not already know? Right. Just because I moved through it quicker, I'm like, let's just like, I already know. Like, I definitely have to come to my own before we can resolve it, but I just get there faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so instead of pushing Scott, which definitely the pressure for sure, like sometimes I pressure him, actually a lot of times without even realizing I'm pressuring him.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm, I just, how my personality is, mm-hmm, I just, right, move through things quicker. And I've really learned that even though I'm just doing it as second nature, like to him, it comes across like I'm actively, like he's feeling this like pressure on,
yeah,
him. And so,
yeah,
to recognize, you know, regardless if I'm doing it intentionally or not, and 90% of the time, you know, I'm not, to just be like, all right, it's cool. Like, it's fine. Like, I need to let him like take the time and like gather his thoughts, because obviously we come to a resolution a lot quicker. There's a lot less hurt involved. Like giving,
yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
also.
Yeah. I would also say the I don't know if this is a difference or a similarity, but on that point where I just need to wrap my head around what it is that's really bothering me, and then we can have a real conversation about it. Oftentimes what I'm really bothered about is so small and so just not even close to the level of like reaction that I'm giving, but the reaction,
yeah,
is just because I'm feeling overwhelmed, and I'm, yeah, trying to process what it is I really think, and if it's even worth,
yeah,
talking about or whatever. And then sometimes those things are things that maybe I didn't want to talk to Lyra about, or was like embarrassed about, or had a hard time being really honest about. And so those things where, you know, we do communicate a lot and we are really honest with each other, but on whatever those things might be that I'm like wanting to hold back or still trying to figure out how I'm going to say it to her, but then it crops up somehow, ends up causing those arguments because I'm not ready to talk about something, but now here it is.
Yeah, that's
right.
And like,
right,
I was workshopping this thing I've been like thinking for 4 days I wanted to talk to you about, but now we're confronted with it and I'm not ready. So I'm just going to throw up all this stuff.
Right.
And
right,
feel pressure, whether she's like actively putting pressure on me by saying, hey, I need you to do this right now, or it's, yeah, just indirect. Now we're confronted with it and we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I would need so many hands to count the number of times Scott will be like, well, you're pressuring me to do this. And I'll be like, what? Like, I have not even said you need to do it. Like, you're creating, you know what I mean? He's like, well, it's just,
yeah,
the feel, I'm just feeling it. Like, I just like feel it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I almost have to like work to push against it, right? Like, so I can't, right, even be sometimes just like in my like normal state. Like, I almost have to work above and beyond, you know what I mean? And a lot of the time that's like verbally like communicative, just be like, hey, it's cool, like it's fine, like take your time or like whatever, and have to like verbally express that to Scott so we can,
right,
feel,
right,
like pressure kind of releasing.
I would, right, say too, it's the mental instinctual difference. Another key difference between our types is that there's so many things I think that I just never say, and,
right,
that could be as fundamental is even just saying how much I care about Lyra and how much I love her and the things I think about her during the day, or the things that I appreciate that she's doing or that I notice that she does for people. I think that stuff all the time. And right. I communicate it very, very little compared to how much in my head. So, and I'm like, try to remember that, that just because something's in my mind doesn't mean I said it to her, even though I'm living that. She's not always receiving that. And so there will be times where I have to remind myself to like write it, like give her a card or pick up a gift for her or something, just to let her know like I care about her and I'm thinking about her, because I do a lot. But if I'm not getting that out of my head and into some way that she can recognize, she's not feeling that. So it's easy to fall into a trap where maybe it's been quite a while that I haven't communicated that type of stuff to her, and she can feel like I don't care or I'm distant or ambivalent when I'm not. I just haven't said that stuff.
That's a big thing too. Like, I just expect, like, if you care about something, like, you show it, right? Like, it should just, like, be out there, because that's part of my,
I just know, right?
And yeah. There's been so many times where Scott, like, I don't know, it'll be so basic. Like, I'm trying, like, I don't know, like, liking, whatever, like, liking a restaurant I picked, right? And Scott will be like, yeah, I like it. And I'll be like, where's like, I don't know, I need like the exclamation point, right? Or either I really didn't like I can't, I have such a hard time if you're just like, oh, whatever, like shrug your shoulder. And Scott's like, no, I do. And I'm like, what do you need from me? Like, I don't know how more to like do it. And it comes across me, right? Like he just like doesn't care. I don't know, like doesn't care. Just because I'm just the extreme opposite, where like, you're gonna know, like either I really don't like something or I really like it, because I already know, but.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas I think it's easy for me and maybe other types that are more in their head, like a five, to just sort of take day by day, like our relationship, all the things I feel for Lyra, all the things that she feels for me, everything we're doing to like raise our kids, all that stuff. We don't even need to talk about it because it's covered and solid.
Right.
Let's talk about the problems and the things we need to solve. The problem is, you end up only talking about logistics and problems and things you got to solve, and you're not actually talking about all the things that give you the foundation to deal with that
That's
stuff.
Good. Yeah.
Because in my head, I'm taking it for granted. It's there. It's covered. I don't need to worry about it. I feel secure in it. So why talk about it?
Right.
Scott only wants to talk about things that are like insecurities, right? Or like uncertainties. That's the only thing he ever wants to talk about. Because he feels like those are the things like not figured.
That's the stuff we need to settle. So let's spend our time on that.
Right.
So Lyra needs that edification of like, no, this is good. I feel good about this. Let's talk about how good it is for an hour.
Like, aren't you excited about it?
Because I think, and I have a reputation for this at work and in other circles of just being like pessimistic. And I take that as kind of a badge of honor, I guess. I laugh it off. I think it's funny because I wouldn't consider myself a pessimist, but I know that just what comes out is very like critical, pessimistic. What about this? This could go wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And if I'm not careful about that as a husband, then that's all she's going to hear. And that wears on somebody over time because it just sounds like that's criticism. Good. This is bad. Let's fix this. What are we doing over here? And like, she's not hearing all the things that I think we're doing really well because I just take that for granted. And it's easy to just have that.
That's right. No, this is such good stuff. And I just sitting here thinking about, you know, you guys are talking through these things and some of it still might be a struggle, but there are other people that haven't even begun to do the work or are just discovering that there are tools out there that can help them work through these things. And it's hard, you know, I mean, just think about where you were years ago or when you don't have you feel like you don't have any way to work through the things that are going on or the differences that you have or where you don't agree and all those things. So I think it's great that you guys have been doing that work and, you know, no one ever arrives. So it's a continual process throughout life, throughout relationships. And I think you guys are doing a great job. Next time we'll have to talk about raising four children. You guys, not me, raising four children as a six and an eight and what that dynamic looks like. Kind of to wrap it up, you guys have already mentioned several things, but if there's anything else that comes to your mind that you would share as advice to maybe someone that's in the same exact position, it's a 6 and an 8 dynamic, or maybe someone that is with a 6 or someone that's with an 8, any advice that you would give them to encourage them or to help them move forward in their relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing is I'd say 8s are great. Don't get put off by the strength of an 8, but also don't forget that they need, like, just because 8s are really strong doesn't mean that they can just handle everything. It's, I guess it's kind of like that that song in Encanto, Pressure, right? The older sister is like a strong one and she can handle everything.
She might be like the middle sister, but.
She's older than the
semantics.
Main
character. Semantics,
yeah. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
But that's, you know, she's like just taking everything on and dealing with everything and handles all the burdens and no one worries about her because she's strong and she can handle it. And I feel like that's what 8s are kind of like. In Lyra's like friend groups, in just our marriage, like it's so easy to say, oh, well, she can handle it. She's tough. She's strong. She's independent. She's brave. She'll say things that other people won't. And it's so easy to just lean on that, but you can't just lean on that forever. Like underneath that exterior, there is like a tender-hearted person who's really caring, who's like really nurturing, who really loves people, who's like fighting for people that need help and needs to.
Yeah.
But that needs support. You can't just like let an 8 just handle everything forever, because that's not fair to them and that's not really what they need. But it's so easy for 8s to get like stuff just put on them. It's also really easy for them to bear a lot of criticism from other people. Lyra gets so much more, I would say, just outside criticism than I do. I think when people just like meet the two of us, like I probably am considered the more easygoing or like relatable person.
Yeah.
Part of that's because I do better with small talk than Lyra does.
like, that's just what I mean. Like, small talk isn't real.
Whereas Lyra is just such a wonderful person that I love so much, but like, she just is there. And she, and that's, for some people, they respond to that. And then other people are really like, whoa, what's this? I don't know how to deal with this.
Right.
And so she has to bear all that stuff. And I would say to anybody that's in a relationship with an 8, like, don't forget to like not just put everything on them, but, you know, make sure that you're sticking up for them, because that's going to mean a lot to them, and make sure that you have their back, and that you're keeping an eye out on that stuff that they're taking on, and that you're not just like relying on that all the time.
Yeah. And that goes for a female and a male 8.
Yeah.
Both need that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Before you share, Lyra, I was going to say, one of my favorite moments with you was a very 8 moment. It was when we went to the movie theater and you told me that you had heard that we were moving, and you were like, so basically there's no point in getting to know you more because you're moving. It's like, I love Lyra. I love it. Yeah.
And I just like, you know, like out there, like, are we like continuing this? Or
right.
See, people are gonna hear that and be like, oh, she's the worst. Just kidding. In speaking like in relationship with a 6, and anyone who is in a relationship with a 6, I think they get really quickly labeled with that badge of like anxiety or like anxiousness. And I honestly like definitely see moments, sure, like Scott gets anxious about things, right? But I wouldn't ever use that word. And I think people are really quick to write off 8s as like, they're the worriers.
6s.
Yeah. I mean, 6s, I say 8s. Oh, gosh. Yeah. 6s are the worriers. You know what I mean? They're the ones that are concerned. But really, when you give them like that time and that space to really like actually come to terms with like how they're working through a problem, it's really, really cool, because I would say you like offer me this like, I don't know, it's like a roulette wheel of like 80 million different options that like I would never see and I wouldn't look at. But giving them that space and time to do that like allows in any relationship to that, instead of just be like, oh, you're just worrying about something, be like, no, like go ahead, like work through those, you know what I mean? Like work through those options, because you don't know what you're missing by not allowing them to, instead of just quickly saying, oh, they're just worried about it. They're just worried about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's good.
So I think that's been really cool and really good and really healthy to like, the more time you get to like process, the more time you get to be yourself, honestly. And I think that like stress and that pressure for AIDS and that like anxiousness or that anxiety comes from obviously like outward, you know what I mean, swirling forces, like making them feel that pressure, which then leads to that fear, right? And that's what's like, oh.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. No, this is good stuff, guys. Thank you so much for sharing and for being transparent and vulnerable, because it's not fun talking about the things that you're still struggling with or working through. But I think it's great because, like I said at the beginning, the point of this is so that others can also learn and get tools and grow. So I really appreciate that. And I think that, I know, I do.
Check back in with us in 3 years when we're not fighting anymore. We solved it all.
We're
almost there.
Yeah. Well, I wish it was that easy. I wish we could have that like ultimate goal and arrive at that. But yeah, no, it'll be a constant process. But you guys are doing great, and it's obvious that the work is happening. And so I think that's what's important. That's the first step, is just being willing to do the work. And so you guys are doing that, and it's great. And thank you for sharing that with everybody else.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's been kind of cool. It's been good for us to get to like think about it ahead of time.
Yeah. That's what's been neat, is like, sometimes you don't think about the things you're implementing until you were kind of like, no, like think about these things. And we're like, oh my gosh, like this is cool. Like we have had a lot of growth.
Yeah. This actually has been a point of conversation for us very regularly for 6 or 7 years. So.
Yeah. That's great. And it definitely, you can tell, listening to you guys, you can tell that you've been doing that work. So I think it's great. Yeah. And I'm excited to share this with other people. So thank you so much.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been fun.